Jesus is our great example, isn't he? Oh, to be like thee. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. O Lord, oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Make me more like you, Lord. I noticed in our book, you will notice that the themes of consecration, devotion, and service are being emphasized again this summer. Let us pray earnestly for a deeper love for our Master and a fuller devotion to Him. And let us serve the Lord with joyful hearts, making this our aim, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He will keep that which we commit unto him. May he sanctify us completely and preserve us unto his coming. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He is coming again. And for today we had, keep my hands that they may move at the impulse of thy love. Keep my hands that they may move at the impulse of thy love. I suppose you read this passage for today, but our hands, they speak of the things that we do, right? Now, these hands do many things, but I like to use this particular couplet, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, to speak of everything that we do, our thoughts, our words, our doings, okay? Let them be all for Jesus. And Francis Havergal says, let my hands be emptied of other things so that they can be filled with the things that are Jesus Christ. We come to you, Lord, help us to unclasp our hold on those other things that we held so tightly to. They were so dear, so important to us. But how can we do what Jesus wants us to do unless we let go? Just let go of those things. They have so bound our hearts and directed our doings, these things of our past, of our life. Our hearts are so filled with desires. You know, it all has to do with our hearts, too. This says, is your heart right as my heart is with your heart? If it be, give me your hand. It all has to do with what's in our hearts. Surely that line of the poem, let my hands move at the impulse of your love. That means I'm going to do what the Lord inspires me to do, what the Lord Jesus wants me to do. That's what these hands will do. We sang last night, let my hands perform your bidding. Let my feet run in your ways. What you want me to do, Lord. Let my heart, you see, it has to be my heart beating with yours. My heart won for Jesus. And then I'll do what he wants me to do. And there he talks about, she talks about, it's a woman, isn't it? She talks about laying our hand in faith upon Christ and receiving there the blessing, of forgiveness, because we lay our hand upon our substitute. And then he who consecrated himself for us, he offered himself up as a sacrifice to God for us. He is the one who cleanses our hearts and purifies us and fills us with himself and with his love and enables us to be so consecrated and devoted to him as we ought to be. And then our hands can be moving at the impulse of his love, so that the simplest things, the simplest duties and acts, she uses those words, our holy service to the Lord. Everything that I do is for him. And it makes such a difference. Makes such a difference, the things that we do for Jesus, the things that we do in his name. He sees it all. And all we're kept from the things that we ought not to be doing as well. Kept by the power of God through faith for the Master's use. Once yielded to him, our lives, our hearts, our hands, we leave things that don't belong in our hands, we leave them aside. We don't take them up, objects. Well, this belongs in your hand. I don't have anything right here to take in my hand, but objects that don't belong, we leave them aside. But not only objects, but we refrain from doing the things that displease. We want to please the Lord, living for Jesus. A life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. And so we may ask the Lord to guide us and strengthen us and teach us, that we might please him in all things and all that we do. Now, I was thinking this morning and today, what can we think of tonight in this connection? And I had no plan whatsoever to do what I'm about to do. None whatsoever. But I brought a... Is everybody wide awake? Please be wide awake. Okay. I brought a book with me. I wasn't sure what was in it to camp. It was on my shelf. I'd been wanting to read it for a time. Never had time. Didn't think I'd have time up here. But I thought, you know, bring it along just in case. And there it was. It was by Horatius Bonar. Does that name mean anything to anyone? Yeah. Okay, if you were here in the... Was that the third period? I asked my sister to say something to us about Horatius Bonar, a hymn writer who was a minister in the city of Edinburgh. And the Free Church of Scotland was his last pulpit for many years, and he wrote some of my favorite songs, like "O Love of God, How Strong and True," or "Hallelujah for the Cross, It Shall Never Suffer Loss." We sang a whole bunch of his songs that night, and she taught us something about him, and then we went down to the palace for treats. Well, here was a here was a book by Horatius Bonar. And it was interesting because it was based on a Bible text that I had just read about in Spurgeon. It was one of our, in the devotional book, the checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And it said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I grabbed this book that said, "Nights of Weeping, Mornings of," or "Night of Weeping, Morning of Joy." And yesterday I started reading in it, and today I read something that I wanna lay on you, okay? Something to do, something that all of us are called to do. Now the theme here is that the Lord has a right to discipline us. Spurgeon had the same thing, the same take on that verse, that the night of weeping is a set and limited time when we pass through difficulties because we are sons and daughters of the living God, and so we don't despise his chastening, and he brings us out into joy when the time of weeping has achieved its result. And so, in order to begin this theme, he has to say that we are sons and daughters of God. We are in the family. And the first couple chapters, which I'm not going to read, one is called the family, one is called the family life, that's the life of faith. We're all called to live by faith. And the chapter I want to read, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, even though it's a short chapter, is called the family badge. The family badge. It goes on with the family discipline, and it's a great book so far. I've read about a third of the first part, the night of weeping part, but actually more than a third. But the family badge. And if you'll just pay close attention, I'm going to skip parts that I think are. I'm going to try to make it so that you can follow me. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake. This is very important, vitally important. This is something for you to do. For you to do, okay? The family of which we speak is gathered out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. It is a great multitude that no man can number, yet it is but one family. There is a family likeness among all its many members, and a family name by which they are known. They have many things in common. Nay, there are few things which are not common to all. They are all of earth. It is their native clime. They are all sprinkled with the same blood and begotten again by the same Spirit. They all sing one song, use one language, rejoice in one hope, and are heirs of one inheritance. This oneness of feature and feeling and habit throughout so many ages and amid so many diverse nations marks them out as a peculiar people and reveals their relationship to him who is the same yesterday and today and forever. But they have one mark more peculiar, that means special in this in this context, than any of these. It is truly a family badge. They are all cross-bearers. This is the unfailing token by which each member of the family of God, each true member of the family of God, may be recognized. They all bear a cross. Nor do they hide it as if ashamed of it. They make it their boast. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to us and we unto the world. Sometimes it is lighter and sometimes it is heavier. Sometimes it has more of shame and suffering and sometimes less, but still it is upon them. They carry it with them wherever they go, and it is always a cross, not merely so in name, but in reality. A token of reproach and sorrow. Sometimes they are represented as carrying it, and sometimes as being nailed to it, but it is still the cross. They took it up when first they believed in Jesus and owned him as their all. Then it was that they forsook the world's tents and went outside the gate, bearing the reproach of the crucified one. He whom they follow both bore the cross and was nailed to it. And why should they shrink from the like endurance? Shall they be ashamed of him? Shall they not rather count it honorable to follow where he has led the way, and to bear for him some faint resemblance of what he bore for them? Shall anything in the world be esteemed more precious, more honorable than the cross of their beloved Lord? The world derides and despises it, but it is the cross of Jesus, and that is all to them. Besides, this was the Master's will. He has laid on each the command to bear the cross. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. The cross, then, is the badge of discipleship, and no follower of the Lord can be without it. The two things are inseparable. God has joined them, and man cannot sunder them. No cross, no saint. No cross, no son. We must carry his cross all our life. We must be baptized with his baptism. We must endure his reproach. We must glory in being clothed with his shame. The flesh must be crucified with its affections and lusts. Our members must be mortified. Our old man must take the place of shame. We in whom the flesh still remains, though its dominion is broken, must be willing to appear as outcasts and malefactors before the world as Jesus did when he bore our sins upon the hill of shame. Jesus, then, with his own hand, lays the cross on each one who comes to him, saying, "Take this and follow me. Take it and be reproached for me. Take it and endure tribulation for me. Take it and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ thy Lord. Take it and be willing to go even to prison or to death for me, not counting your life dear unto you, that you may follow me to the end and receive the unfading crown. Learn to endure the cross and to despise the shame." A little more? Still awake? Okay. But further, we have the Master's example as well as the Master's will concerning this. I do not mean merely that he hung upon the cross. I do not refer simply to the fact of his crucifixion. I mean much more than that. That was but the closing scene of a whole life of crucifixion. He was a cross bearer from the hour that he was laid in the manger. All his days he bore the cross. His life was but a pilgrimage to Calvary with the cross upon his shoulders. Tradition tells us that as he left the judgment hall, he was led along the way to Golgotha. But in truth, his whole course on earth was the mournful way. It was all reproach and sorrow from his cradle to his grave. His was a sorrowing life. His death was but the summing up of his many sorrows, the gathering of them all together and pressing them into his cup at once till the vessel burst because it could hold no more. And then for him the cross and the shame and the sorrow were at an end forever. But for us the cross remains still. Throughout his life he was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And herein we see something more of the family badge as it was displayed in the elder brother, acquaintanceship with grief. We are always to bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It is the Lamb that we follow, the Lamb as it had been slain. This surely speaks most plainly of the family badge. We are followers of the man with the pierced hands and feet, the man who is covered all over with the marks of the buffet and the scourge and the spitting, the man with the crown of thorns, yes, he is our elder brother. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and if we see so distinctly the family badge on him, shall we shrink from taking it up and binding it in triumph as a jewel on our forehead, as a crown upon our head? There is one mark by which from the beginning he has been distinguished as the woman's seed predicted in Eden. It is the bruised heel. This is in truth only another way of expressing his character as the suffering, the crucified Son of Man. This was the mark which God gave by which he was to be known. Yet it was just at this stumbling stone that Israel stumbled. They had no eyes for the dying Savior. The humble Jesus found no favor with them. The bruised heel they could not away with. The very mark which God set upon him as Messiah was that on account of which Israel rejected him. Yet it is the bruised heel in which we rejoice. It is the man with the bruised heel who has won our hearts. It is he whom we follow, and his bruised heel we engrave upon our banner as our most honorable badge. The similar bruising we look for as our portion here, nor are we ashamed of it. All the saints before us have experienced it. Are we better than they? Shall the soldiers of the last days be ashamed to wear the uniform which the army of the saints has gloried in for thousands of years? I think that's enough. We get the point. Take my cross upon you and follow me. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? Take up thy cross and follow. Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? When I serve the soul. Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. When I read that this afternoon, or as meeting was drawing close, I just felt I should bring it and read it to you. You can't escape it. If you're a true child of God, a follower of the Lamb, you're a cross bearer. But you know what? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but also the most joyful of any. That's in another of our Psalms that's quoted in the New Testament. Why is that? That's what it says, and we've heard it too. The happiest people in the world are the cross bearers. There's no other way for us. There's no other way. He endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. So is everybody wearing the family badge tonight? I trust so. And I trust we're encouraged to follow Jesus all the way, to be more and more like him. Let's sing a prayer yet. More like the Master. It's in our hymn books. I believe we can find it on page 327. 327. More like the Master. More of his meekness. More humility. More courage. More zeal. More love. More like Jesus. Let's pray this with all our hearts.
Long to ever be.
Time straight to him. Let's sing right to him, into his heart. Lord, you take us, Lord. We've come to you tonight to worship you. We've come to hear your word. Please take us, Lord, and make us all that you want us to be. We want to take your yoke upon us. We want to learn of you. We want to bear this cross that is ours to bear, and we thank you, Lord. We want to wear this as our badge of honor, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to follow you, and we gladly follow you with all of our hearts. Together, take thou my heart. I would be thine own. Thank you.